You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Are you sure that you will go to heaven? Who will be condemned to hell? According to the Bible, what guidelines will be used to determine this?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, you alone deserve honor, praise, and glory. Because of your grace, the hope of heaven is available to everyone. By the power of your living word and spirit, lead people to understand that no one will be saved on the basis of their own merits. Remind everyone that in spite of the best we try to do, there is no one righteous, not even one. Oh, precious Savior, we place our entire self into your loving and gracious arms. Give unto us the peace and assurance that your blood has the power to cleanse us from our guilty sins. No matter what challenge or difficulty we may be facing, may your living word always be true in our lives as it is recorded in Colossians chapter 3. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. It is simply impossible to know where anybody goes when he dies. No one knows what really happens after death. These words, found in a paperback book discussing faith and religion, reflect the hopelessness of a large number of people today. Many of them are church members. Adding to the general feeling of uncertainty about eternity are those who brazenly deny the reality of a heaven, hell, or any type of existence after death. There are even those who now claim that the concept of heaven is only a figment of the imagination, an idea dreamed up for assisting the weak to face reality. How wrong can anyone be? A simple reading of the Bible will quickly dispel these Satan-inspired rumors. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on several occasions during his public ministry, spoke authoritatively and clearly on the existence of heaven. In one situation, Jesus spoke assuringly to his concerned disciples when he said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." These comforting words of Jesus were meant not only for his disciples, but also for us today. Jesus said that in his Father's house are many rooms. He continued by saying that he has gone to prepare a room for each one of us. In spite of the fact that many reject his glorious and free invitation, the changeless desire of our Lord is that all people with a repentant and believing heart turn to him and accept his free salvation. The eternal mansions are now available. Rooms have been prepared for everyone. The current confusion about the existence of a real heaven is obvious. But what is even more confusing are the questions: who is going to heaven? Who is going to be condemned to hell? And What standards or guidelines will be used to determine this? Have you ever thought of these questions? What standards or what guidelines will be used to determine whether you will be in heaven someday? You may think that you have your future all figured out. You may also be totally wrong. Clergymen and others who speak to parishioners, friends, and neighbors readily admit that the overwhelming majority of people today believe that entrance into the eternal paradise of heaven will be determined by how good or evil an individual's life has been. It is commonly assumed that those who live a good life will go to heaven, and those who have lived a bad life will be condemned to the eternal fires of hell. Most people believe our eternal reward will depend on the life we have lived. Even though this is what most people believe, this is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus is very clear on this point when he says, "For I tell you that your goodness must be a far better thing than the goodness of the scribes and the Pharisees before you can set foot in the kingdom of heaven at all." What a surprise announcement! The scribes and the Pharisees were very religious people. They spent a tremendous amount of time and effort being religious. That was their entire life. Those who lived around them accepted them as fine people, religious models of their day. They would attend worship services regularly, they would make long public prayers, and they would give large financial contributions to their temple or synagogue. Even though they were considered some of the finest people in their community, Jesus warned that anyone who expects to get to heaven must lead a far better life than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, what Jesus was saying was simply this: it is impossible for anyone to live a life good enough to earn a place in heaven. The great missionary and apostle Paul explains it even more clearly in Romans chapter 3 when he says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." This news, directly from the Bible, is certainly not encouraging. When taken seriously, it is even depressing. No matter how good or religious a person is, according to the clear teachings of the Holy Scripture, this is not enough to meet the Lord's requirements for heaven. If you have been under the impression that you will be in heaven because of the life you have lived, forget it. Don't waste your time. God is perfect, and He expects us to be perfect also. Only those who are declared righteous will be permitted entrance into heaven. The Bible records the words of our Lord, which say, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." Before you turn your radio off or change to another station, let me tell you about the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. God, our Heavenly Father, is fully aware of the mess we've gotten ourselves into. And even though we do not deserve it, He has provided a way out, an emergency exit from the impending condemnation of our own sins. This is what He said. Let me outline it briefly and simply based on the Bible. God arranged to have His only Son, Jesus, to come into our world, to live a perfect life in our place. Not just an outwardly good life, like the Pharisees, but a perfect life. Jesus then suffered and died, but not for Himself. He suffered for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me. Now, to all who are sorry for their sins, no matter how rich or poor, no matter what ethnic or racial background, all who turn to Jesus are declared righteous in the sight of God. All who do not believe will, through their own unbelief, condemn themselves to the everlasting fires of hell. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." We, through our best efforts, do not become righteous. We are declared righteous. We exchange places with Jesus Christ. He is declared a sinner in the sight of God. And because of Jesus' merits, we are declared righteous. We exchange places with Jesus. He takes our place and we take His. This gracious act of God is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Holy Scriptures state, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good a life we may try to lead, it will never be good enough to earn a place in heaven. God demands perfection. Instead of permitting everyone to be hopelessly lost, our Lord has announced that all who repent of their sins and, by faith, believe in the sin-atoning merits of Jesus Christ are declared righteous in His sight. They have the joy of knowing that even though they have been sinners, heaven can be theirs through faith. This is an exciting thing. The strong and unwavering Spirit-led conviction, based on the changeless promises of God that heaven is an absolute certainty for all who trust in the Savior, has given encouragement to many, even in the most hopeless situations. This God-inspired confidence sustained the apostles as they faced those who opposed the preaching of the good news. It enabled parents and children in the early church, whose bodies were savagely and mercilessly torn apart by the lions, to face death with a deep inner strength and without fear. St. Paul expresses their conviction in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles," St. Paul said, "are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The knowledge of the certainty of heaven has helped people through some of the most difficult situations and has given them a reason to live. It is indeed sad that many today do not have that living hope. Others who once looked forward to the joy of eternity with God have lost their faith-giving and enthusiastic anticipation for a blissful eternity with their Heavenly Father. For many today, heaven merely represents a slightly improved version of their present earthly existence, sort of like a remodeled house or urban renewal of a downtown ghetto. For those, heaven is just not that much to look forward to. It is even characterized by some as boring. A book review which recently appeared in Time magazine noted the author's view of heaven as a place where there will be a park of pearly gates, angels with harps, ambrosia, manna, and a heavenly choir that sings, "Oh, them golden slippers." This warped and hopeless view of heaven was exemplified even further by a half-page advertisement in a magazine. The ad, placed by a large international hotel chain, showed a beautiful beach with a hotel in the background. Underneath the picture, it said, "The closest life can come to paradise." Ladies and gentlemen, if heaven merely represents a slightly improved version of what we already have, there is little to look forward to. This is not, however, the way heaven will be. This is not the way heaven is described in the Bible. Heaven will be totally different from our present existence. There will not be merely an improvement, but a total transformation, like from darkness to light. Listen to the beautiful description of heaven as found in the book of Revelation. "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Heaven will not be boring, even though potential for boredom will be absent. The deepest needs of our souls will be totally satisfied. We will be in the very presence of God. This living hope is joyfully expressed by the psalmist when he says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The psalmist continues by saying, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." When we have the definite assurance of spending eternity with God, we do not simply sit around waiting for that day to come, nor do we become spiritual hermits, withdrawing from our family, our friends, and the rest of society. On the contrary, we become even more involved in the society around us. God wants our life to be a living demonstration of hope and joy in the midst of a hopeless and confused world. with a commitment based on the assurance of God's love and grace, we are to reach out to those who do not have the certainty of Christ's righteousness and to those who do not have the sure hope of spending eternity with our loving Heavenly Father. If you have been struggling with problems in your life, if you have been wondering whether life is worth living, take heart. Cheer up. Make the words of St. Paul your own when he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving a glory that far outweighs them all." You can be absolutely sure of going to heaven. This will not be decided by the life you have lived. You can be sure of going to heaven by being sorry for your sins, turning to God, and asking him for Jesus' sake to forgive you. When you do, God declares you righteous. You are not righteous, but out of his love and grace, God declares you righteous. With that God-given righteousness, you are guaranteed a mansion in heaven. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," Jesus said, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." God grant this to each one of you listening today. Amen.